I'm talking with David Harris, candidate for Congressional District 6 up in the Arlington and Ennis area. David, you're running against Joe Barton, who now, with the exit of Tom DeLay, is the senior Republican amongst the Congressional caucus in D.C. You know, he's got a lot of money in his war chest. How do you run against a guy like that?
Well, I think it's just going back to the basics, getting in touch with voters, and doing it the old-fashioned way, knocking on doors, handshaking, going to the, you know, the parades and the town halls, and doing it like they used to do. I mean, money isn't everything this year. I think there's so many more intangibles out there this year than there ever has been. So,
now, what kind of response are you getting as you're going out there and meeting voters? This is like many of them, a very Republican district.
Yes.
So you're not going to win on Democratic votes alone.
Right.
What kind of response are you getting?
Well, we've been targeting a lot of Republican precincts, and the response has been really overwhelming. I have more Republicans coming up to me these days saying, you know, I voted for this guy for the last 20 years, and I'm not going to do it again this year, and you have my vote.
What is it that's motivating their change of mind?
I think they're just ready for a change. I think, Barton's hated by his own party, but he has not helped District 6 at all, and I think people are finally beginning to realize that for 20 years this guy has completely neglected the district, and now he's the chair of the Energy and Commerce Committee, and he's got so much power, but he does so little with that power. And I think people are starting to see that, and they're just ready for a change. They're tired of the corruption, they're tired of the cronyism, and they just want a new face in Washington.
Give me an example of something that of a local issue that the people are upset about where they feel that Barton hasn't delivered for them.
Well, I think one, being a border state against Mexico. I mean, immigration right now is a hot button issue for a lot of Texans. And as I talk to people across the district, one is the war in Iraq, two is, you know, energy, and three is probably immigration as far as the top three subjects. And I think, you know, he's had 20 years and being a representative from border state, and we saw this coming. This isn't something new just this year. We saw this coming, and he has done nothing.
Okay, well, let's talk a little about immigration, since that is inflaming people. There's a bit of a rift in the Republican Party between, you know, President Bush, who's pushed a reasonably pragmatic solution on immigration, and the hardliners in his own party who want to, you know, make a felony out of, you know, being here without all your papers in order. Where do you stand on the issue?
Well, really, I think there's a lot of things that can be done. One, we need to enforce the laws that we already have on the books. We need to target the corporations that are employing undocumented workers and really, really hammer them for employing them. That's a start. Two, we need to have a top-notch INS system. When we have people crossing the borders, we know where they're going. We know how long they're going to stay here. And three, I think we just need to work again with, you know, cooperation with the Mexican government and really treat this accordingly and share resources across the border.
Okay. Well, then now let's talk about the other issue, the war in Iraq. You, of course, served in Iraq as a member of the Army. First of all, what is your position on what the U.S. should be doing in Iraq?
Yeah. Like I've said ever since I've gotten home, I think we do need to set a timetable for withdrawal. And it's not, you know, everybody immediately jumps to cutting and running and getting out of there. And that's not what it is at all. We set a timetable to, you know, invade Iraq. We set a timetable to establish the Coalition and Provisional Authority. We set a timetable to establish the new Iraqi government and the Constitution. We established a timeline for voting on that Constitution. But somehow we can't come up with a timeline to tell the Iraqi people that we will no longer be occupying your country, and ultimately Iraq will be a free Iraq again, and it will be yours. So until we do that, until we set a mark on the wall, whether it's 6 months, a year, 5 years, I mean, we've got to put a mark on the wall and start aiming towards that and aligning resources. And there's a lot of things that can be done. Stop giving no-bid contracts to companies like Halliburton and really employ the Iraqi populace if they want to rebuild their country the way they say they want to do it. Give them the tools and resources and let them rebuild their country with our help.
Now, how does your experience in Iraq shape your candidacy, and how does it affect people's perceptions of you when they meet you on the campaign trail?
Well, I think since Iraq is really first and foremost on everybody's mind when I'm crossing the district, right away, whether they're Republican, Independent, Democrat, they, once you say you're a veteran of Iraq, even if they're the most staunch Republican out there, they'll at least give you that 30 seconds to a minute to make your pitch. And then after you do, they want to hear more. Knowing that you have been a soldier on the ground and served in the current occupation or the current operation, they want to hear more. They want to hear whether the media is reporting it correctly. They want to know, is it really that bad over there? They really want to know what it's like for the average American soldier on the ground.
And what do you tell them?
Well, I tell them it is that bad. For instance, I say, how many car bombs went off in Baghdad before we took down Saddam Hussein? I mean, we opened up the biggest terrorist training camp there ever was on the face of this planet by invading Iraq, and we have destabilized that area of the Middle East more than helped it. And we had hundreds if not thousands of embedded reporters when we first invaded Iraq, and where are those reporters now? If there was so much good coming out of Iraq, don't you think it would be reported? Because then this administration could show we are truly making progress. But I mean, every day more and more American soldiers are dying, and we're not making progress, we're going backwards.
Now, how was it when you were there? Can you see the ways in which it's different now from the way it was a year, 2 years ago?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, from not being able to be actually over there, 3 years later, and actually see on the ground is what is happening. But I mean, I can see just from what we get on, mass media, that it's not going well. It's actually, I mean, every report that I get or talk to people of soldiers that have come home and saying, you just don't know where they're going to come at you from. I mean, it's, when I was over there, when we first crossed the border, it was, everything in front of us was considered enemy territory, and now these guys are in a 360-degree battlefield, and the area of the country that we operated in was semi-permissive, generally U.S.-friendly in the southern part of Iraq, and, we really didn't receive a whole lot of contacts until months and months, and, after a year had elapsed, we really started seeing a lot of the contacts start spreading from the north all the way into the southern region. So I think now you see all across Iraq, the insurgency has grown, I mean, 100-fold since being there.
Let's shift gears a little bit. Another issue that Barton is known for, not in such a good way, is environmental issues, clean air. There's a lot of controversy with like Dallas County and Tarrant County, complaining that clean air rules have been subverted to allow cement plants in Barton's district down in like Ennis, in the Ennis area, to continue to, not have to clean themselves up, and that's affecting, right, these other counties' abilities to meet federal clean air requirements. Tell me your opinion on this situation and what you think should be done.
Well, first of all, we need to get good legislation in place. I mean, we've got the Clean Air Act that mandated by 2010 that, Dallas County and Tarrant County and and all the counties within the district have to meet, you know, the federal standards, and we're not there. Two, Barton has used, you know, we're slowly approaching the anniversary of Katrina. Barton used Katrina as a springboard to roll back environmental regulations. You know, he used it to open up the Arctic Wildlife Reserve for drilling. He used it to roll back the permitting process for new refineries being built. He used it to exempt corporations or businesses or cement plants, like you mentioned, to adhere to the Clean Air Act. It's just criminal. This guy has done everything in his power to declare a war on science and a war on the environment because he doesn't believe it. He has subpoenaed scientists when they suggested that global warming was happening, and he has subpoenaed testimony from environmentalists that have suggested that the cement plants are contributing to the environmental conditions up in Dallas and Tarrant County. I mean, the guy, you know, he investigates Citgo for giving low cost energy or oil to residents of the East Coast during the winter months, but ExxonMobil records record profits during, you know, their fourth quarter, and he does nothing to investigate them. So, I mean, this guy is criminal all the way when it comes to environmental and energy.
Is that something that you would want to focus on in Congress? What would be your priority as a congressman?
Well, I think my top three priorities would, one, be the war in Iraq, and truly, you know, tell the American people we need to get our sons and daughters home and out of that region as quickly as we can, politically, militarily, once it's stabilized. Two, I think getting a good energy policy in place for America. I mean, the energy bill that Barton authored isn't even worth the paper that it's written on. It's given nothing but $1 million tax breaks to corporations, but does nothing for the individual American taxpayer to give them, you know, relief if they use solar, wind, or hydro, or any of those type of things. I think probably the third priority would be on healthcare.
Okay. What motivated you to get in this race, and what did you learn from the race that Morris Meyer ran in 2004?
I can't put my finger on one set thing that kind of pushed me over the edge. I came back from Iraq pretty upset the way our military was treated, and then after the months drug on and going there and staying there for as long as we did, that was an issue because I could see the writing on the wall that we weren't, this wasn't going to be a quick in and out operation. And I just have seen our country roll back at, you know, everything. I mean, it's like we're going back into the 50s again. We're taking away our citizens' civil liberties. We're stripping them away. We're trying to pass constitutional amendments to, you know, refine our Constitution, which is the most forward-thinking progressive document ever written in history. And I'm doing it for the residents of District 6, because I mean, they're fed up. They want true representation in Washington. I'm doing it for my children. I want them to grow up in a world of tolerance and not of hatred. So there's a lot of things. And after seeing and working behind the scenes and working on other campaigns across the state, you know, in my earlier years, you know, I know a little bit about the district now from working on Morris Meyer's campaign. I saw some things I liked and some things I thought I could do a lot better. And when I was asked to run, it took me all of maybe 30 minutes to decide that, you know, I needed to go ahead and give it a shot.
What kind of outreach have you been doing online, and what kind of response have you been getting?
Well, the early advice I got from a good friend of ours who's a political consultant, she said, you know, if you're going to dominate a market, then really dominate it, whether it's radio, whether it's TV, whether it's print, whether it's the internet. And we chose to go with the internet because that's the wave of the future. And we went to an outside design agency that designed our website. We had been blogging for a while, kind of, you know, anonymously, and then really started to reach out to the Netroots community early on in the campaign. And now we've got people blogging for us from coast to coast. We have, you know, 53 countries hitting our website. So there is a lot of internet. It's heavily internet-based.
Has that translated to support on the ground, volunteers?
I mean, at least every week we get new requests to be a volunteer for the campaign, to write letters to the editor, to go block walking with us. You know, and a lot of our fundraising has been coming in on from online contributors.
From where we stand today, what do you see as your path to victory?
I think it's just really continuing what I'm doing, just doing it the old-fashioned way. I mean, people really, it's funny, because when Barton sends out a Frank mail bomb to the entire district, I mean, you saw it in 2004, his survey questions were, should he get involved in things like the Terry Schiavo case? Should he get involved with fines for entertainers in sporting venues that do lewd acts? There was steroids in sports. I mean, these were the kind of things that he was worried about in 2004. In 2006, he's worried about, let's see, what was it? Oh, how much would the price of gas have to go up before it would really start to affect your driving habits, and the Medicare Part D, prescription drug plan, which is a valid concern. But this guy does not even have a clue what it's like in the district anymore. So I think it's just reaching out to those kind of disenchanted Republicans right now, independents, and really working the base.
Okay. David Harris, thank you very much for talking with me. Good luck in your campaign.
Thank you.